Let's go to Psalm 86. So again, we've been going through different things about the heart. You know, we went through a whole list of things that we are to do with all our heart. And then we looked at some specific ones. We did trust God with all your heart and seek God with all your heart and serve God with all your heart. Today, we're going to look at praise God with all your heart. Okay, so Psalm 86 and verse 12, it says, I will praise thee, O my Lord, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. So, praise God with all our heart. And we know, you know, again, the word heart here is used figuratively for the innermost part of your mind, the center of your being. It's what you makes you. You know, I've been thinking about this, and we are all to give God praise in every aspect of life. And when we do that, some of the issues of life and some of the difficulties should kind of get to be secondary as you walk with God. And that is really how we are to take care of things. Put God first and praise Him in everything. You know, it says in Thessalonians 5, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. But it also, we are to praise God. We are to recognize God for what He has done for us. Here in this psalm, he recognizes God. He says, I will praise you with the whole heart because of thy mercy toward me and because of thy deliverance. You know, just the mere fact that we're born again and we have eternal life, God deserves our praise, right? So let's go to Psalm 100. Everybody knows this psalm.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah, because we used to sing it. Sometimes we still do. But it's a psalm of praise. So Psalm 100 verse 1 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. I love that verse because I can't sing very well. So as long as there's joyful noise, I'm good. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. That's a good thing to know. The Lord, He is God. You know, I think, I don't know, maybe a month or so ago, we looked at God, the Creator, and you know, how great He is and the immenseness of what He has done. And you know, there's the verse in where it talks about how He measures the universe with the span of His hand. You know, it's kind of incomprehensible. They just shot a new, or they're going to put a new telescope in space.
It's out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all of a sudden they see all this new stuff they never knew existed, right? And it goes on and on and on and on, and it just is mind-boggling. So, know ye that the Lord, He is God. He's Elohim. He's the Creator. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Which means what? That He watches over us, right? He takes care of us. Psalm 23 talks about the shepherd. God, when it says we're the sheep of His pasture, it means He pastors us. He protects us. He watches over us. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. You know, in the Old Testament, they would enter into the temple, His courts, right? But it says in the New Testament that when we are together, we are what? We're the temple of God, the body of Christ. And when we come together, we should come together with praise and thanksgiving. And anytime we go to God, we can go before Him. It says that we can go before the throne of grace in time of need, right? To obtain mercy and grace. That means, you know, in the Old Testament, they would go into the Holy of Holies. We go directly to God and God's presence. And we should do so with thanksgiving and praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. His truth endureth means it never changes, right? It never changes. It's always the truth. You know, in the world, people are always talking about truth and I want to know the truth and what's the truth about this and that. But God's word is the truth. You know, it's like they talk about justice and there's really only one justice. That's God's justice, right? It's his standard that sets, it's what he determines. His standard for justice is true justice. Let's go to Psalm 22. So there's so much to be thankful for and there's so much to praise God for because he just does so much for us. Psalm 22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the 22. Psalm 22, verse 22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise thee. If you go through the Psalms, when I started looking at this, there's hundreds of verses that talk about praising God, which if I had did all those, it would get redundant after a while, I guess, or whatever. But one of the things I noticed is that he talks about praising God in all kinds of different situations and places. So, you know, before we just read when we enter the gates of the temple. Here it talks about among the congregation, I will praise thee. I will declare thy name unto the brethren. I will, in the midst of the congregation, I'll praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. And to glorify him is similar to praise. Right? They're kind of synonymous in a lot of ways or a lot of uses. And we are to glorify God in our lives in everything we do. Let's go to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. This is one of my wife's favorite verses. See, whatever we do in life, we are to be a glory to God, right? And that's part of praise. When we sing songs, we're supposed to sing joyfully because we're praising God when we sing. You know, in the Old Testament, they had special guys that's all they were in charge of is the music in the temple to praise God and singing praises to God. In Jeremiah 17, verse 14, it says, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, Lord, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. And we just praise him because he is our healing and he is our salvation. That's what he is. He is that for us. What a great God. We're not only to praise God only when he does something for us or when we get something we pray for. We're to praise God all the time, every day. Praising is a way of life. Let's go to Romans chapter 15. And, of course, we should do this with all our heart. Why? Well, because we're supposed to give our best for God. We're supposed to give our all. Chapter 15, verse 5. Are you there?
I'm there.
Romans 15.
I'm there.
Okay, good. Now, the God of patience and consolation grant you all to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Like-minded, you know, we're to be like-minded. We're to have the same thoughts concerning Christ Jesus. That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's pretty straightforward and simple, isn't it? We are to praise God and glorify God with one mind and one mouth. The word glorify here is a Greek word, doxazo. And one of the definitions from Vine's Expository Dictionary, just in case you wonder where I got this, it says to magnify, to extol or praise, especially of glorifying God, ascribing honor to him, acknowledging him as to his being, attributes, and acts. It's pretty cool. It covers it all, right? It covers it all. So we are to glorify God with one mind and one mouth. Wherefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. You know, just the fact that God was so merciful and gracious and received us as his children was a glory to him. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Fathers being Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the 12 patriarchs of the tribes of Israel. So Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto them. God made the promises, you know, he promised them that he would send a Messiah to redeem them, to set up the kingdom forever. And he sent Jesus Christ. And what did they do? They rejected him for the most part. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. So that's pretty cool, isn't it? To laud means to extol or to praise also. It's the same word as praise. It's a different form of the word. So they use a different word to communicate it. So, we as Gentiles are to laud him and love him. Verse 12, and again Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. So, you know, just because God let us in, right? The promises were originally to the Jews. And when they didn't fully embrace the Messiah, then God turned to us. And of course, the promise in the Old Testament was that through the seed of Abraham would all nations of the earth be blessed. And so we praise him for that. We're thankful to him for that. Okay, so why do we come together for a fellowship meeting? Well, one of the reasons is that we are to, with one mind and one mouth, glorify God and praise God. To praise God together, we are to do it in our prayers, in our singing, and the way we act and live. So I know some of us don't like to sing as much as others, but it's praise to God.
Yes, it is.
Okay, 1 Peter. Chapter 4. Says in verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What's a steward? It's to someone that takes care of something, right? Watches over something. A steward in the Old Testament would be the main guy of somebody that was rich. He would have a steward, and he would watch over the land and the finances and the family of the rich guy. He'd be a steward. Sometimes with nonprofit organizations, they'll have people that are stewards of the money. You know, it's the way they're referred to sometimes. So, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, if any man speak, verse 11, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. So, in all things, God is to be glorified, and Jesus Christ is to be praised, who has dominion forever and ever. What a great thing, see? We're just to be thankful, we're to praise them, and God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and we're to glorify them in all we do. We are servants of Jesus Christ, or we're supposed to be servants of Jesus Christ, in the sense of how we live our lives. We serve the bread of life to people. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. When I first started looking at this stuff, you know, there's hundreds and hundreds of verses in the Old Testament, you know. But in the New Testament, the word glorify is pretty similar to the word praise in the Old Testament. So in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, verse 23, I'm sure some of you are familiar with this. It says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient or convenient or, you know, the best way to go. Okay? All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. So can I tell a story? Beth, when she first started coming to fellowship, years and years ago, she stopped coming because I smoked.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You know, and so it wasn't expedient for me. But then she came back. You know, and I was used to people smoking. And, you know, when I first got in the Word, almost everybody in the fellowship smoked. Mm. You know, as soon as the fellowship was over, we'd go outside. Well, we didn't even go outside. In those days, we'd smoke in the house. But, you know, some things, sometimes you have to be careful for people and try to bless them. And, you know, not everybody's at the same place of everybody else, right? Not everybody is mature in the Word as everybody else. Not everybody understands. Now, when it says everything's lawful, what does that mean? It means, you know, it's talking really about the Old Testament laws. And in the context here, we're going to read a little bit more. It's talking about dietary laws especially. It says, let no man seek his own, but every man another's. And it says wealth there, but that's just in italics. It doesn't really fit the context. In other words, you should care for other people. You should be selfless. Jesus Christ was selfless, right? Whoever is sold in the shambles that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. Okay, shambles is the market. You know, when you go and you buy food at the market, you know, you don't ask where it came from necessarily. Because in Corinth and a lot of these cities, what happened was people would bring their sacrifices to the pagan gods. Okay? And so they would bring the best meat. So the pagan priests open up butcher shops or meat markets, and they would sell the meat and make money. So that's what it's talking about. So whosoever is sold in shambles, you know, whatever is sold in the marketplace, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You know, just because a pagan priest or somebody gave it as a sacrifice doesn't make it bad meat. It's just their use of it. Okay? For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. You know, don't ask them where they got the meat. You know, don't embarrass them, or you know, then you refuse, you accept the invitation to the feast, but then you say, oh, I can't eat that. That's dirty. That's sinful. But if any man say unto you, this is offered to sacrifice unto idols, eat not that for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. See, for me, I'm fully aware. I can eat pork. I can eat shellfish. But a Jew that came, got born again and came out of a Orthodox household, they would be horrified, right? And it might even be hard for them to overcome that. They may be able to accept other people eating it eventually, but they might not ever be able to eat it. Well, I used to, when I worked in New York 50 years ago, whatever it is, we used to go to this Thai fat company. And they were very, very strict Jews. And we'd go and they'd always offer us breakfast. And we'd always say, can we get eggs and bacon? And they go, no, can't have that in our... And we'd laugh at them. But they didn't care because they were getting our money, you know. But anyway, so you understand it's not a matter of law, you know, what's right for us and what we are able to do. Sometimes we have to control ourselves and be aware and walk in love towards other people. Does it all make sense? Right? Okay. Okay, so verse 29 again. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if by grace be a part, if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? For therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do all to the glory of God. See, no matter what you do it to the glory of God. Right? You know? Now, there are some things that it says in the New Testament we shouldn't do. And, you know, that's great. But if you do them, what happens? You get forgiven. You know? That's not a license to sin. You know, say, well, it's grace, so I can go do whatever I want. Well, that's kind of stupid, too. But we are to do everything to the glory of God. And we're to be considerate of other people. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're to do it to the glory of God. We do it with all our heart. We live with all our heart for God. Chapter 1, verse 18. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God. See? By us. It's to the glory of God. See, all the promises of God are in Christ Jesus, and it's yea and amen, and it's a glory to God because we acknowledge that. Right? And it's a glory to God. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. You know, it's kind of cool when you think about it. You get it into your brain and you start your day and you're praying. You know, I do this pretty much every day. I pray at breakfast. I have my breakfast usually up before Stella, and I eat my breakfast before she comes down. And I usually thank God for my breakfast, and I just thank God. I say, God, work in my heart that I do my best and that I'm a glory to you in everything I do. You know, and I try to remember that. Now, do I perfect? No. But it's in my brain. It's there. And I try to keep it there. Galatians 1, verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So when do we stop glorifying God? You know, it goes forever and ever. For we're always to praise him and forever and ever. Okay, Philippians chapter 1. You know, back in the Old Testament, I think it was Jehoshaphat or Asa was king. And they were getting, you know, they knew this army was coming to attack them. And so God sent the prophet and he said, okay, what you do is you get your army ready and you get the priests and the guys that play the music in the temple and you put them before the army and you go out playing music and praising God. And then watch God deliver you because the battle is his, not yours. That's how they won the battle. What a great strategy for military conquest. Praising God. In everything, we praise God. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. In this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. So as we walk and as we grow in love and in knowledge and in truth, as we produce the fruits of righteousness, it's a glory to God. That's cool, isn't it? When you do stuff for God, it's a glory to God. And you will produce fruit. And let's go to chapter 2. And you probably all know this, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that's what we do. That's how we got born again, right? We confess Jesus as Lord, and we confess that in our lives. And we live that every day, that he's supposed to be the Lord of our life. And as we live that way, it is praise and glory to God. Doesn't sound that hard, does it? Mm-mm. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll finish up there. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. It says that in the dispensation or the administration of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. Referring to what? The gathering together, right? God will gather all things in Christ Jesus. Whether dead or alive, they'll all be gathered together in him, in Christ. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated or foreordained according to the purpose of him who worketh all things unto the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. We are to be to the praise of his glory. Verse 13, in whom also ye also, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. God sealed you up. You're redeemed and you can no longer be unredeemed. Right? You have that Holy Spirit, which is the earnest or the token or the down payment or the deposit of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. You know, when he gathers us, it's going to be to the praise of God's glory. We don't really have anything to do with that, except we enjoy it and we're part of it. And what a great thing that is. We are to the praise of his glory. And we are to live like that. We are to live to be the praise of his glory. So God, we just thank you for how you love us so much and how we can praise you with all our heart and how we can serve you with all our heart and how we can endeavor to be our best for you every day. And as we do that, the things of this world are easy to handle. We can always put things in the right and true perspective of what you've given us and what you've promised us. We thank you that we can be to the praise of your glory in all we do day by day. And we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.